I'll just put it in there. Wait. Yeah, go and give it a try. Yeah, so I'm presenting a paper on the making an inexpensive underwater mine countermeasure simulator in real-time 3D after action review. Yeah, it's for a long time. So the research question here is that providing ARR after the first time they try the training simulator will improve the performance during the second attempt. Specifically, minimizing the deviation from a search path that they set up, and identifying more items correctly and less incorrect items, and better increase in accuracy of the detail of the identified items. So the situation is that underwater IEDs or improvised explosive devices are actually more common than we like. Quite a lot of us know about IED because of, you know, Iraq war and all that stuff and how that damages vehicles. But like when you have underwater IEDs, the ratio to like how expensive the damage is towards the cost of the equipment is more staggering than with normal IEDs. For example, if there's an example they used in the paper where a $1,500 ID caused a $9 million damage to like a warship. So, like, and there's also like trade routes and stuff like that that can be endangered, which also will cost millions. And apparently, one of their sources shows that Iran has the fourth largest stockpile of underwater IDs in the world, and you know, and China and Russia are outsourcing some, so it's a serious situation. So their motivations for creating this simulator was they had done a lot of case studies on a lot of military training equipment before, and they had they were presenting their article about their case studies, and then they were also approached by the technology-based training unit, which is part of the Royal Navy, and they were interested in having some research done as well. And they're also motivated by like other examples of underwater training simulators that were also being developed, which then function as a proof of concept. So, their first day went to like the defense school, defense diving school, in Britain for like a briefing on about all the issues that are related to the development of the application. So, they had a lot of concerns, like when you dive, there's like the whole degraded vision, and the whole when you're 3D, you get a lot of problems with navigating, and so they mentioned some of the psychological fears. So when they perform inspections on ships, there's kind of this realization that you're swimming under like an 80,000 ton ship, and then that's one of the psychological fears they mentioned. And then there was spatial disorientation from exhaling bubbles under a ship that would get caught under the ship, and that would cause some spatial disorientation. And then there was something that was called the Call of the Abyss effect, which is also common with astronauts, when they like stand above Earth and look down, and I guess it would happen in the sea as well. It's you have the fear of falling, which seems to be quite reasonable. Yeah. There was also one of the other things they mentioned is they wanted to have some, because of they at their facilities they couldn't have specific types of training because they lacked the vessels or, the ships they had of that type weren't there at the time, and there was kind of they also didn't have like a consistent training method, for like or identification methods for finding objects. So the ARR part of the system, which is after action review. It's kind of been around since World War II, and is a process where students and lecturers review, or instructors review the training outcome with the aim to like improve behavior or correct training deficiencies. So the modern version uses a lot more data and present your log data of what the person has been doing, and then present that covered information, but how you kind of implement it kind of varies. You can do it using group discussion and or how you capture that data and perform the AR session varies. So you can do the AR session using group discussions, and you can present data like audio capture using audio capture, benchmarking tools, and data captured systems. So the application they made, or the simulator they made, they used Blend, which is a modeling tool, but it also features its own engine that uses Python script. They mentioned VR, but from what I read during their testing, they didn't actually use any VR equipment. They only used screens. And they mentioned most of their assets they could purchase from third-party studios. I think they did some development themselves. They also implemented a scenario editor for the instructor to make new scenarios for by placing rocks and objects. They also made for this tool they implemented two scenarios: one for searching for objects around the submarine, and one was for doing a hull check on a battleship, frigate. I can't remember the name of the ship. It was an aircraft carrier. And then they had a final demonstration for showing off the features of the engine. Let's see. So their system was not automated, which basically means that they didn't use any questionnaires that the person or the performer just filled out. But they did do quite a large range of data capture. And they had a lot of tools that supported the instructor to go through their sessions. So they had a summary standard summary screen with the amount of time they used and the hits or the items that they found. But they also supported replaying, since they were data capturing every 5 seconds. So they could go back through the log and go forward and use a highlight pen to highlight areas and a marker pen to draw lines. And then could also choose between 4 different camera angles. One was in front, I can't remember them all, but one was around three around the person, and one was a free camera to just move around. And then they also developed the diving reporting charts for reporting back information, which was based on previous studies, but is a chart that helps people recall the objects that they found based on what they see in selection. So the study that they performed was to check if there any of to see if there was any increase in performance in both situational awareness and diver performance. Yeah, diver performance and situational awareness as a result of having a ARR session between the two scenarios. So the participants were all volunteers, and they were all staff and students, and so it was a, what's it called? Can't remember the name. They just got those that were like available. The reason that they didn't do it with diving students was that it wasn't practical for them to organize it with the diving school. So they had 20 individuals, 15 male and female, or 5 female, and the ages varied because, you know, you have students and lecturers, but most of them probably students based on the majority. None of them had any previous experience with ARR, and the range was from novice to expert gamers, but they don't find what they mean by that. Main independent variable is if they have an AR, have AR between sessions, and the three variables that we want to measure is the search path accuracy, number of correct or incorrect items found, and the report of the correct items. So they were randomly split into two groups. So I'd assume two groups of 10. One group had the AR section, one didn't. Both took the same simulations, first one with the submarine and then one with the aircraft carrier. They were given a familiarization session before they started, and the AR used the US Army Leader's Guide to After Action Reviews to make sure that the AR sessions were as similar as possible. I looked at the manual, and it's basically just, it is a manual, which is 25 pages, so it's quite a long read, about how you set them up, structure it. They also had a basic usability study as well. So, in terms of the search path accuracy, they found a marginal significance of 2.5 and a p-value of 0.03. So they kind of showed that there was a marginal increase in the accuracy for the search path, but not that big. And they concluded that there were other factors related to like navigating in six dimensions other than just, you know, getting an after action review and improve that much, as were other factors that influenced the performance. When it came to the item identification, there was a significant improvement. So the mean increase of correct items identified increased, so that they would find more correct items, and there was also a decrease in incorrect items found. And as you see, they had the standard errors was quite similar, or very similar, so you'd expect that to show that while they had the same range of error, the group with ARR performed better. And they had p-values very reasonable, and they had a high t-value. So the accuracy, the report accuracy was also quite a lot larger, though they did have a larger standard of error. But you know, there's quite a huge difference in the score reporting in the increase, and the students also mentioned that after the review that they knew better what they were supposed to report and how they were going to report it. So their conclusion is that AR allows the user or the testers to gain more knowledge about their performance and about the tasks that were not clear the first time performed, and they saw significant improvements in the identification of the objects and in the description, but only small improvements regarding their navigation. And they also mentioned that the results demonstrate the value of exploiting open source for creating cheap simulators for military. And yeah, they also mentioned that you don't have to use AR pack software packages to perform AR. You can just plan for it to use it, and then it's is to build. Yeah. then. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, shout. Yeah, I can do that as well. Yeah, so the simple result. So the sample was quite small, and it's asking what the if you can say that it's more generalized if it the it's if we did it on divers. Yeah, I mean, that's, you kind of have to do the study on those to figure that out, but they did mention that, you know, this is a public study too, because they didn't have the management to like perform the study with the Diamond School, but it shows that the results shows that there are values for normal people to do it, so if you tried it, you might expect similar results with Diamond School students. It makes an argument for more work to be done, or more testing to be done with diamond school students. Yes, so the application itself is just regular on the screen, and then you just move around. But they did mention different like Oculus and different VR equipment. But I guess since it's supposed to be an inexpensive game, they didn't use that because, you know, the equipment's still quite expensive, and I'm not sure that Blender supports VR. Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. Yeah. And it is confusing. You mentioned it. Yeah. I would think so. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, there's. I would say there was some stuff that I would shorten down on. Like, the introduction is like fine, you present your the situation and why it's necessary. But your origins kind of. Because it did go into like too much about that. Yeah. I think it was something like that. Yeah. 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 Yeah, 35 frames or something. Yeah. Yeah. I would mention it's kind of be easy to do that then. Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine comparing that to you doing it in real would be a lot harder, I would think. Or it would take more time. Something. Yeah. 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 It mostly mentioned that it would be useful for other types of underwater training, generally. Not, I wouldn't imagine it would be used for like combat. They mentioned some other examples of using like the training for the rovers or like the underwater unmanned submarines. And also, it's providing the assets or needed to like build underwater simulators. But yeah, I think they did some in-house stuff with like seaweed or something. Yeah. Improve. It would depend on the balance, but I would say if you're just being distracted by the environment and not focusing on task, then it's bad. But if you have a clean interface and it's simple to say where you go, then it it's fine. Or it's that's good as well. But there's the like the real, there's the simulation and there's the real world, and you kind of have to like apply that, try to apply that to the real world. So actually with like the diving simulator, you want to have it as similar as possible, but like some abstraction might help in some areas. So like Yeah. Yeah, they mentioned in the like usability report that like all the students were like annoyed by the breathing noise that they made like when they were diving. Like, mm. Yeah. 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 Basically reflection, more or less, but you get a little bit more guided in how you perform them, or it depends on how they set it up. Generally presenting metrics or, you know, give some hints, give some hints. Yeah. No, I don't think they specified who the like instructor was.
Yeah.
But I think I'm not sure they didn't mention who if it was one of the one of the professors or if it's they got like a professional diver in and to give them tips or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's this way, and there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Because it was cheap, basically, or they okay, or open source. Something.
so that you had to come back and do a master's because you couldn't find a job. Okay, so it wasn't it wasn't that we were so terrible that you couldn't find a job. Right. Right. Okay, that's a stinging indictment on us. It's somewhat better, mostly.
Right. Yep, okay, so, we'll start back up here, and we have the video of me, so we've got to come up. Now, you sent me the thing.
If ads, I think if ads were less likely to just be to be loud, if they just show themselves, it's not so bad. But when they jump in and take over.
So this paper is it's a pretty short paper, but it's kind of interesting one. It was a study where they tried to understand the relationship between students' activities shown in log data. So they logged the students' activities in a serious game, and they tried to find similarities between their performance in that environment, which is a serious game, and how they were behaving or their activity. So they choose the game Alien Rescue. They call it Under Investigation. The thing is that Alien Rescue is also a game they have created themselves, because those who have written this article is actually on the list of the owner of this game. But the thing is that it's they are kind of looking at if you can see the learning path and etc. So the game isn't that important, I guess. So it's a problem-based learning game. So you can have it's about having you can be bad at solving puzzles. You can be good at solving puzzles. It's different approaches. So that's what it's meant for. It's actually used in 4 different countries, or have been used, and in 29 states it's already been used. It's using 4 conceptual categories. It's a tool-sharing connective load, tool-supporting connective process, tool-supporting authorized outreach activities, and tool-supporting hypothesis. And these categories are they have, on the right side you see Alien Database, Solar System Database. These are elements in the game. And these 6 elements was chosen from a previous research they had done, where they have 12 of these elements, but these 6 were kind of those who stood out. and improved most of the students' performance, so they only focused on these six. So the research question is, which tracking data variables correlate significantly with student performance in the SG environment, which is a SG serious game in this matter? How do the learning paths of students with different learning performance differ? So the first one, they're trying to see if any of the data they log has any, like, is there any correlation between the performance and the data they log? The second one is more seeing how students perform, those who perform good, how is their path to perform good, and how is people who doesn't perform that well, how is their path? And there were 61 sixth graders that attended. They were from Southwest US. It was they individually used this application in 3 weeks in 2014 in the spring semester, and this was also added in part of their science curriculum. And they also gave them a pre-video of the problem, so the students kind of got engaged into it. And then they did some data logging on the students when they were using the application, and they put those in data files. I'm not gonna go over what each of these variables is, but it's the basic what they logged was how many times you clicked on the tool, how long you were inside the tool, and they also took their explanation of a solution they created from solving the problem. And the tools they have been using to do the analysis of this was Tableau, E3, and SPS. The two first ones are meant for visualization, the second one is for statistics. So here's the kind of the first result they came up with, and where they're stating where there are three things that kind of shows that are under there, that they can see a significant correlation or a relationship between performance and the data they track. And the frequency of the alien database, or the how many times they visited or was using the alien database, seems to have a performance increase on the student, the time they spent in the alien database, and also the words count in the solution form. Seems to have also students who have a lot of counts in the word counts in their solution. So basically, if you write a lot about the solution, you usually got a higher performance. And here is the it's more or less in result, but they have A and B in this matter are students who perform bad, who got a grade performance 0, and C and D are students who performed 5 or 6, and it's from 0 to 6 kind of grade scale. And as you can see, the first one shows that the students who perform bad accessed the mission control and the probe design a lot more than the student who performed well. But the time, as you can see on the right side, they used in the mission control is similar. But what's significant is that the time that those who did well, their time in the alien database is a lot higher than the, for example, the B. So B and D, you can see the time they spent in the alien database. And if you see on the time in the mission control, it's kind of similar, but the frequency of accessing the mission control is a lot more, higher for the bad performing one. And here you kind of see the same, and you can see the learning paths, how they access the patterns. So you can see the top one is a student who performed bad or had a bad performance score, and the bottom is a student who performed well. So as you can see, they are the students who perform well are usually accessing all of these elements quite frequently, but it's very constant back and forward. Meanwhile, the students who didn't do so well are kind of more, spent more time in the mission control and wasn't kind of, and also visiting the alien database when you're kind of at the end of your project, which shows some uncertainty, I guess. And this is the same pattern, which they are very proud of this model. Just to saying, they are extremely proud of this one. And it's it shows the score that the student each got, and it shows the access, how their path to learning. So if you see 5 and 6, you can see a lot of, they are accessing very differently all of the elements in the game. Meanwhile, students who performed bad, they didn't use that all of the tools. They used the tools that they are considering more fun compared to the others. The alien database is more like information and helping and information gathering, but so many students didn't bother, and you could clearly see that in the performance. So the conclusion was that they found 3 tracking variables that were significantly related to students' performance, and it was the word count, as mentioned, the frequency, and the time spent in the alien database. And students with low performance tend to use the more fun tools. Meanwhile, the students with high performance tend to use all 6 tools. And as back to that figure, they were proud of it. Analyzing through data visualization can deliver a more holistic view of a student's different learning process. And what I mean with that is that they have you can use analytics to see how the students perform in your serious game, for example, and you can use those to maybe improve your game in the later use, in the later scenarios. So that was kind of their thought process, at least. Yeah, thank you. What your question? Students submit. They didn't submit the solution yet. I don't think it was like, even if you don't deliver the solution, I still think you have gathered data about them, so it was kind of weird, in my opinion. One of the reasons may be because the sample pool is so low and it started to mess with the results, is my theory about it. Also, it was a classroom, what they're saying is that it was a classroom attendance, so it was kind of. And one of the things that was struck out for me was this was done manually. It's not automatically log data, so they had to manually go through the data. So that's probably why they threw it away, because they didn't want to have extra work, I guess. As I said, this report is done by people who made the games, so I think they maybe actually there are some biases in here. And but one of the things that they have this game and is prop, it's very researched. I mean, it has won prizes, so it's probably a good game when it comes to us training schemes for serious games in education, at least. I think I actually tried to find a download, but I didn't find it. But I watched some videos of it, and I found it to be I'm not a sixth grader, so I don't know. But it was not bad, but it was not also, in my opinion, it didn't feel like a game. But it was it gave the students somehow a feel that they were exploring and doing stuff on their own and solving the problem. It's very old, yeah. It has 5 versions or something, with seem like the people who switch out is quite But how is it to add metrics and analytics, etc. to a mod game? How much access do you have in there? You can just the one of the interesting things here is that if you look at 3 and 4, you can see like you should believe that 4 should start being more like 5, and then 3 should start being more like 2 and more like the 4. But it's what's important is to see what's accessed. Like, you see where the student starts? The fourth student starts with the alien database. The third performance student doesn't. He starts directly in the problems. And this was something they actually mentioned, that students who perform better, they started with the alien database system. Yeah. And but they still access the alien database. The thing I think why it's kind of skewed in the beginning is because it's also something that I also mentioned is exploration. The students didn't have any information about the tools. That was actually something in the problem solving, that they should learn tools. And also something why people could score better, perform better, is because they in the beginning had this variation of going everywhere and kind of mapped out what they had to do. So I think maybe that's why the fourth one is kind of better than the third one, is because it's better use of the tool, I guess. But I also think it's just because of low sample pool. They had just 61 students. Let's say it like this though. They mentioned they had 61 students. Their log data was on 7,404 lines. So 7,404 lines, it didn't say me anything. it's 7,404 lines. Yeah. It was very. Yeah, there's no indication of it. I mean, I think the fourth one at least is a very skewed one with very low results in it. I think it's very hard to score average on this. It's like either you're, either if you, like it seems like either you, if you either you understood it like you say, either you did the correct things, or else you didn't do the correct things, and it's very easy to score bad. Don't blame the graph. It's a like they based a whole like a whole conclusion on this one. Yeah, the first time I looked at it, I was kind of confused, but so then I read through this one and I was okay, so that's what they're trying to say. But yeah, it was comparing a high performance team to a low performance team.
But I get very upset. If you have a line graph, I have a point here and a point here, and I draw a line behind between it. What I'm implying is that there is a valid figure here, because I've drawn a line saying this moves from here to here over this extent, which means if you were to measure it here, it is most likely. Right, that's when you use a line graph, because when you have some continuous data where you have to be sampling it, and half sampling will give you halfway that mark. If there is no relationship between these two, then you can use points, you can use vertical bars to imply, oh, this was this quantity of thing, and this was this quantity of thing, right? But this is a quantitative at all either. These are categories. Right? So there's no, because when you do this, also when you do the line, you imply that if you did bars, that this is a value. Right? Like this figure sometimes exists, so this has some like linear relationship. And drawing a line through it implies a linear relationship. Now, the justification, of course, is that oh, this is hard.
Clicks it. It's frequency how they click into each.
Yes, it's how they click. Now, what you see here is what is more important is the number of times you click in the place of your. So, this is clicks here, clicks here, clicks here, clicks here. This is just like they do clicks in the place of your. They use it here, they click twice from here, they click here. In the notebook, it may be that if you are in the notebook, you can't do this. You can't do this all the time.
They never visited the notebook actually, so it's.
Yeah.
It just happens to be in the middle.
Yep, I
hadn't actually noticed that. That's really bad.
And you see, that also one thing that I should never do, when you have two graphs next to each other, they don't do it here, but if you do two graphs next to each other, do not have this one go from 1 to 100 and have this one go from 10 to 70. And then have a... and say, look at them, they're similar. Oh no, that's cheating. You can't change the base and the top. And then say we're in the back. I don't know. You just put two graphs next to each other, the y's have to be the same. And the x's should be the same. Right? You shouldn't. I don't like that way of presenting.
Probably did what they should. word count. So you write a solution. Feels a little like they want to just gather some data to try to prove that they're that
get these big spikes if you just rearrange the code.
It's a bad visualization. I was kind of surprised by when I read there's one PhD student and there were four master students that are educated in learning technologies, and they managed to do this. That's like, it should be obvious that like there's no there's no data, like it's impossible to see how many students it. Absolutely no. Why is 6 better than 5? Less red, I guess.